All right, Krishna, everyone, this is Achyuta Bhava, and it is another Bhakti Wednesday. So I'm taking a question from the audience here tonight. First one is, can suffering be eliminated? The second is similar. It's, can utopia be created on the earth plane? And number three, is it the government's role to create utopia? Good questions. So I'm not a political pundit. So again, don't hold your breath on that. But the answer to question one, can suffering be eliminated? In Bhakti Yoga, the answer is yes. When we take to the path of love and devotion to God, eventually the byproduct, not that we're seeking this, but the byproduct of surrendering our heart and soul to God is that we no longer take place in the cycle of death and birth and rebirth. And so our true identity, you could say, as it awakens within us through the path of bhakti, transports us to the spiritual worlds. And in the spiritual worlds, they're worlds much like this. There's things happening. The difference is that those worlds are the differences, variegations, dualities of those worlds are bound together in love and in the light of God. And so those spiritual worlds are places that are described where suffering is no longer. And that's the sort of state of enlightenment that's described as the one of the byproducts of the path of loving and serving God, that one no longer takes birth in the material world. Sometimes people hear that and they think that that's a condemnation of the material world, but it's not. This world that we're in, the material universe, is also considered a divine realm, but it is considered a realm in which souls are intentionally, of their own volition, choosing to have experiences apart from God. What is it like to have experience, but in these experiences, I'm not seeing everything held together in the light of God. I'm seeing things in shadow, in darkness, and in ignorance, because I'm turning my consciousness away from God to experience what it's like to be apart from or separate from God. And so a world is created and facilitated for souls to go and have that experience of apartness or separateness, and thus dualities, rather than being perfected in the light of God's love, are experienced through the lens of ignorance and separateness. And so there's more of a sense of suffering. There's the material world can't help but suffer as a result. So it's endogenous to this realm that there is suffering, but there is relative states of light and dark too. The unfolding of creation is the material creation is seen as these universes being expelled from the body of Vishnu and eventually sucked back in. And this cycle itself of universes going in and out is without beginning or end. These are material worlds. Beautiful, right? God's construction, just so souls can go and try out what it's like to be separate from God. So in this material creation, the Vedic literature tells us that everything cycles through light and dark, through dualities, that the dualities blind us and confuse us, that we live in ignorance with them here in this state of material consciousness. And there are light ages and dark ages that cycle. The light ages are relatively more heavenly, and the dark ages are relatively more hellish. And in this material universe, there are planets, solar systems, galaxies, who knows, that are relatively more heavenly and relatively more hellish. In this world, there are places, states of consciousness, people, groups that are relatively more heavenly and relatively more hellish, right? There are governments that can temporarily create relatively more peaceful environments for people to live in. And there are governments that can create relatively more hellish conditions for souls. And that those dualities are always going to be. So in that sense, sure, a government should try to create the most peaceful place that's possible, but it is inevitable from the standpoint of Bhakti Yoga that governments will also create hell, and that these kinds of experiences will cycle and circle. So just because the material world is not a place that can create, the spiritual world is the only place in the light of God's love where suffering is eliminated. It's not here. That doesn't mean that we think of this place as bad, or we damn it, or we judge it. The symptom of an awakening soul in its attitude toward the material world is one of compassion. The bodhisattvas who won't stop until every soul, you know, is enlightened, is coming into the light, the illumination. So, you know, there's no, it's like this, it's actually merciful. The word Maya, which means illusion, and is a word that's used to describe this material world, also means mercy. So this world is ultimately very merciful. There's nothing at stake for an eternal soul being here. Can be here as long as it wants to, experiencing relative hells and heavens and births and deaths and rebirths and horror and joy. And it can experience as much as it wants to. And in every experience, there is always a call, a lesson, symbols, beings calling out to us saying, turn your eyes back to God. Turn your heart back to your divine source. Turn your heart and mind back to love. Let me light your way home. Every experience is always beckoning us back to that same realization in this world. So it's ultimately a very merciful place. It's kind of like, you imagine that someone had only ever been in an airport and you were like, hey, you know, you could take a plane and go somewhere. You could go see other countries. You could go see the spiritual world, you know? And they're like, wait, are you telling me, are you trying to say there's something wrong with this airport? You're telling me because I can go somewhere else and see a different kind of reality, you must be suggesting that this reality is bad. Well, let me tell you that I love this reality, and it is not bad. It is beautiful. It is just as beautiful as those other worlds I haven't seen, right? It's like, well, you haven't seen them, you know? So maybe it's as beautiful, but maybe you should find out, you know? And that's kind of the role that the guru, that the teachers, that the saints, that the sages play for us. They're saying, hey, it's not that the airport is like bad. I mean, you chose to be here. God built it so you could be here. It's beautiful because, of course, it's beautiful. It's God's work. The airport is God's creation, you know? But it's a transient place, and you should check it out. Like, you can go check out other places too. It becomes suspicious when people will kill you if you try to suggest that there's something outside the airport, or that there's other worlds you can visit, or other countries, or planes you can get on, right? So sometimes people get really mad if you say you can't create utopia on earth or something like that. You can't eliminate suffering on earth. You have to go to the spiritual world, because their immediate response is going to be like, well, that seems like it's really sort of an inherent condemnation of this world. And it's not a condemnation at all. Again, that would be like saying just because you can leave on a plane and go elsewhere that airports are bad, right? So anyway, I hope that this has been helpful. I believe very deeply that, again, the symptom of one who is starting to see things in the light of God is immense love, compassion, acceptance, beauty, seeing this world as a terrible, bad place is really not at the heart of what an enlightened person looks like or acts like. So just because we may not be able to eliminate suffering here doesn't mean that the spiritual life is not about trying to create a better world or demonstrate as much compassion as possible for other living beings, even if we may not eventually take birth here again, or even if our final destination is in a different world. I hope that makes sense. Anyway, so hopefully this has been helpful. I do my best I can with these questions, but they're so deep and profound, and I'm definitely, you know, in over my head, trying to just parrot back what I've heard my teachers say and what the, you know, the bhakti philosophical texts teach. Okay. Take care, everyone. If you have questions, by the way, email me at info@nightlightastrology.com. Put bhakti Q&A in the subject line. All right. That's what I've got. Hare Krishna.